In the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "Bethlehem in Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Lord, may my words light the way to your will, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, here we are again at Epiphany, and I am not going to get on my famous hobby horse about how many kings there were, how many presidents there were, and whether there was 200 kings or three. Today, I'm going to leave that aside, just leave you pondering that in the background. We are here at the visit of the wise men to Christ. The passage in the Gospel is so familiar to us that we do not see the wonder of it anymore. Maybe it's a case of familiarity breeds contempt. So, to help us, what I wanted to do is to cast our minds back about 220 years and to a village somewhere, let's say 50 miles from Bethlehem, where ordinary Jewish people surviving the best we can under Roman occupation. How do we know Jesus has been born and that he is the Messiah? The answer is, we probably don't. Besides the shepherds on the night he was born, and of course the heavenly host, the only people who know about the significance of what has happened were those in the immediate area, because it was passed by word of mouth. There's no mobile phones, email, text, or the scourge of social media. Remember that all the Jews are expecting the Messiah, someone to restore Israel to the greatness it once had. It was read to them in the synagogue from the writings of Isaiah, from Micah and others. It was part of their tradition, of their hope. Now if a traveller had passed through our village and said that some shepherds at Bethlehem had been saying the Messiah had been born in a stable, an angel had told them all about it, and they'd seen the baby as it had been told to them, what would be our reaction? We would assume, probably, that the shepherds had had dropped too much with their evening cocoa. The furthest thing from our minds would have been the Messiah has come. Anyway, why would God tell the shepherds? Ordinary people. Surely it would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees that would be told. The officials of the faith, the scholars. Now, we just accept it. It was a wind-up. So we ignore it and continue with our normal lives. Now, if this has happened all over Israel then, like now, the Jews would still be waiting for the Messiah. And because they did not accept it, the rest of the world would be waiting with them. But, as usual, God has everything under control. This is where the wise men come into the story. From the inference, we know that they arrived sometime after Jesus' birth. It says in the reading, "We observed his star at its rising." In other words, when he was born, we saw his star appear. It says further on entering the house, no longer the Holy Family in the stable, and it continues, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down to pay him homage. Note the word child, not babe, not baby, but child. And if we'd continue reading further on from our gospel reading, at verse 16, it goes on to say, we see that Herod ordered all children of 2 years old and under to be killed, the only innocents, again suggesting that Jesus was up to anything up to 18 months old when the wise men arrived. So we have wise men who were more likely than astrologers, the intellectuals of the day, the scientists, the thinkers, spending up to 2 years following a star, giving up all their home comforts because they knew it pointed to a special person and they wished to pay homage to that person. They were foreigners to the Jews, Gentiles, non-believers, outsiders. They came not only to worship, but also to bring gifts to this new king. Gifts of great value as a gesture of his sovereignty over them, even though they'd never met him. If we look at the Isaiah reading on your pew sheets, you'll see that Isaiah wrote, "Nations shall come to your light." And a little further on, "The wealth of the nations shall come to you." This is what happened with the arrival of the wise men. Nations did come to Christ's light. Interestingly, as history will show, the nations that had long expected Jesus failed to recognize him. Let's look then at the reading and how it might be relevant in our lives today. What were the wise men doing when they first saw the star? Looking into the night sky, doing their job, doing the ordinary tasks of their job. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it very comforting to know that we can find God in the very ordinary parts of our life. While we're washing up, doing the shopping, or even in our concern for others. We do not have to be doing something special, things to be in the presence of God. We can meet him anytime if we but listen for him. The next is a little more difficult. I said earlier that the wise men were outsiders, foreigners, but it took them to point out the full significance of the baby Jesus to all the nations. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, are we prepared to let other people speak to us about our faith? Are we going to allow others, sometimes strangers, to show us Christ in a new way? Allow them to shine a new light, the light of the world to us. Will we allow ourselves time to change and to grow with a new hope inside? The third thing the wise men did was kneel down and pay homage. They gave their gifts as an act of worship, We should follow their example. We should give our gifts to Christ as an act of worship. Now, what gifts can I give? Some of you may be thinking. Each of us has gifts we can give to Christ. Remember, Christ is in the face of a stranger. So by helping each other, whether known to us or a stranger to us, that could be your gift to Christ. Wise men gave out of love. We should also give out of love. And this reading is also about hope. They made the journey in hope of finding the new king and did so. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which we didn't have this morning, Paul speaks about the grace he received from God. And I quote, "This grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ." That's our hope. To bring the news to the Gentiles and the boundless riches of Christ. This is what Christmas, and more importantly, Epiphany is about. The journey from despair and darkness of the past to the new tomorrow, living in the light of Christ. The journey that will fill us with hope as we seek out Christ again to be in our lives. This journey will take some time and sometimes seem pointless. But by staying focused on the reason for the journey, a closer relationship with Christ, then it will not be in vain. Amen.
Amen.